Hi everyone, and welcome to The Why in Your 20s.
This is Bib.
And Nat here. We are two counselors in our 20s navigating our adulthood away from our home country.
This is where we explore questions that might come across in our 20s, including relationships, identities, and all kinds of uncertainties.
Some topics will be fun, others can be a bit scary and uncomfortable, but sit with it, because that's when we learn and grow.
But just a friendly reminder, the information presented in this podcast is for general information purposes only. If you're struggling, please seek professional help.
We might not have everything figured out, but together, we can make this journey less lonely and scary.
So welcome on board,
and let the journey begin!
Okay, let's go.
Welcome back, everyone, to the other episode of The Why in Your 20s. Yay!
It's only first few episode of the year, is it? Oh my goodness, it feels like it's been so long.
I think because we're only uploading every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it feels like we have done... Okay, maybe not. We haven't done much.
We have done more in life. What? Well, that's so true.
Done more in life? What do you mean?
Like, we're able to spend more time in doing things other than the podcast.
Like, what did you do other than the podcast?
I spent time with friends, I spent time in the nature, I lay in my bed and do nothing.
Oh, you had days where you laid in bed and did nothing?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's most of my evenings during the weekdays. Are you busy all the time, busy lady?
No, but wouldn't be lying on my bed.
Oh, that's one of my ways to relax, like with Netflix, in bed, like you're ready to go to bed.
That's a very bad routine.
But I can...
Too much Netflix before you sleep.
I know my sleep hygiene is no good, but
not so great.
I'm still able to sleep whenever I want.
Wow, so. Good for you.
Thank you.
Seems eventful. Seems like you did quite a lot as well. Not only resting, but... There's some stuff that you enjoy?
Yeah, doesn't sound like you're doing stuff that you're enjoying.
It's not bad. Honestly, I have no... Like, it went by so quickly.
It's already March.
Yeah, so I don't know what I did. I feel like I did nothing, but... Honestly, this is very boring. Can we start over?
I just don't know how to start over. Where do you want me to start over?
How was your week?
Okay. How was your week?
Good.
How is this less boring?
What do you mean? I asked you first.
I'm the one opening, so...
But I asked you. You welcome the listeners, and I asked you, how are you doing?
I'm good.
How so?
Meh.
I have no idea how we're going to move forward from this, but let's just dive
no,
in.
No, I have.
But let's just dive in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, do you have a story you want to share?
No, I was just going to share. Because you completely forgot how to edit on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
So Viv is texting me. She's like, oh, sorry.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
It'll be a bit late. And normally, as a Nat personality, I would feel like uneasy because I'm like, oh, we're meant to upload on Wednesday at 4 a.m. in the morning. Now I couldn't upload it because Viv haven't finished editing and I haven't finished the reels and... Everything is delayed. So I thought I would be very uncomfortable with the whole situation because if people know me, I'm a very stubborn, rigid, need to have order kind of person. But I was surprised I didn't feel that way. And I think that ties into, you know, today's topic of fear of losing control. That in what situation we would think that way and yeah.
Amazing. Great transition.
Thank you.
Today's topic, I guess, is what Nat said, fear of losing control. I think, but before we go through more of the specific examples that we have come up with or experienced in our lives, what is the fear of losing control? What does that mean to you, Nat?
I think, do you want to share that? I think for me, it's still formulating. But I think the fear for me, when I think of fear of losing control is... To me, losing control is panic, but not the panic that you think is like, ah, I don't know what to do. But it's more like that unpleasant feeling inside you. And I don't like that. And if I have that, it means to me I'm losing control.
I agree. I think on a certain level, that is what I feel like losing control is, but I would go more extent where, not where people can see me doing, but my brain inside is doing that. It's more of my feeling of losing control.
It's like the movie Inside Out, and the little people dancing inside. But the girl is like very calm.
Exactly. I think I feel that way when, or I picture it that way when I'm lose, quote unquote, losing control. That's how I feel it.
I think so. It's like, for me, it's controlling that emotion, not letting that emotion to appear, and I'm controlling it. And that lose control is letting that emotion to
overwhelm you.
Overwhelming. Nice word.
What? Such a common word. This episode is it's not gonna be great.
Okay, this whole episode it will be very chaotic because usually I have some sort of idea of what I am talking. Because this topic is, I'm still processing it. So it'll be very chaotic on my side, which will also impact Viv as well.
I will just be very annoyed.
Yeah, she'll be like, oh my gosh, this girl.
But I hope through our chaotic conversation that you will be able to gain some awareness. Because this is the way to figure out what fear of losing control is for you.
Exactly. I'm ready for this journey.
Good luck.
Good luck to you. I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah, honestly, good luck to me because I have to edit this.
And you also have to lead it because I have a tendency of
going
everywhere.
Yeah.
And anywhere.
No, that's true. Yeah. Okay, so, and you mentioned that emotions, like you want to have that under control so that you won't be feeling that overwhelmness. So is that one of the few things that you want to have it under control?
I think the umbrella term for me is having that certainty in anything. But I couldn't pinpoint what exactly or what aspect.
Yeah, so what's the most?
I think work for me is fine.
Are we doing the process of elimination? Oh my goodness. Okay.
I want to say driving. I think I want to control things that I'm not good at. Because if I'm good at it, then I'm confident that I can manage it.
Because you already have it under control.
Yeah, because I already have it under control.
So the things that you're not good at, you want to control it where you want to improve in that, to gain that control. And one of the things that stands out to you at this moment is driving.
Or like big life changes. For say, where will I be living in the next few years? Because I'm renting, right? So there's a chance that our lease won't get renewed and then we have to move. And where are we moving? Which suburb is better? And then I will need the time to research, you know, which suburb is safer. Look at the news. Oh, there's crime in that area. Okay, maybe not that area. Maybe the other area might be better. And I'll look on the app and see, you know.
How are you not tired?
I thought about it. Like, every time when you say, why are you not tired? I'm like, I actually have enjoyment out of it.
Because you gain that control by doing that.
Either that, or maybe it's just my personality. I'm like, you know, people talking about MBTI, right? I'm an INFJ, I'm a J. I like to plan, I like to organize, I like the order. I actually gain joy out of it. I'm those crazy people that I like to plan the holiday. At 11 to 12, I'm here. 12 to 1, I'm here.
Honestly, it feels like you over-identify a lot of stuff.
What do you mean by that?
Like, let's say you people please. That's your personality. Your personality is people pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Your personality is planning. Stubbornness is your personality. So you identify a lot of the things as your personality.
And I put it in a box and just leave it there?
I'm not saying it's a wrong thing. It's just more of, again, rigidness.
Mm-hmm.
And that, well, you would say that is your personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the best personality, but yes.
Yeah, so a lot of the things you say, oh, this is my personality, but I feel like...
I get what you mean, because sometimes I think that way as well. I feel like, okay, do I just stop in that awareness and feel like I have control over that? I named it, and it's fine. I've thought about that, and I just leave it there.
Okay, let's come back to today's topic. So what you want to try to control the most is, I guess the things that you are less skilled at, and also the big events in your life, the big changes in your life. You want to have that under control.
Good summary. What about you?
I was going to move on.
No. I need a rest as well.
Actually, I do need a rest in understanding what you're
saying. No, you're fine. You're great at this.
Wow. What are the things that I'm trying to control the most? I think for me, it's what you kind of touched on, is emotions, my own behavior, and my own thoughts. Those are the three things that I try to control the most.
Do they link to each other, or they're like, which is that first? I think that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think I can identify that part, because it depends on the event or like the situation at hand.
Do you have an example to share?
I think for me, it's daily life, any situation that may involve other people or influence other people. So basically all interactions with other people.
Okay. And will you not feel that if you're alone in your room?
Less wanting to have that under control, but I would still control it.
So you feel a little bit safer when you're alone?
Mm-hmm. But it's very hard to say which starts first. It depends on what kind of theory do.
Or what kind of triggers it?
Interactions with other people triggers it most. Like when I'm alone, it's less interaction with other people. Then I would be very mindful of the emotions that I express, or the thoughts, or the words that I use, or the behavior that I display.
Why do you need to be more mindful of that?
To have everything under control of myself, and maybe even to have a false sense of control of how other people react. What about you? Anything that triggers yours?
Interrupt my system? Or like uncertainty, let's phrase it that way. Like, I think uncertainty triggers it, because my fear of losing control is that little panic inside. And usually I have everything in control. I try to. But when things are out of my control, or there are too many things that are new and unfamiliar, I will like, okay, I'm not used to this situation. There's a lot of different variables that I cannot pinpoint, I cannot control. Then my thought will go into, there's more possibility of different little accident will happen that I'm not experiencing, that I have no control over. Then I'll have that fear of losing control. And the way to not letting that fear of control to come in is for me to plan ahead, to think of all the possibility that will happen, and think about all the solutions that can help with all those situations. So I think uncertain, to answer your question, is that uncertainty.
Basically everything in life then, no?
Yeah. But also the situation where you're so familiar with, right? For say, I know exactly which train that I'm catching. But of course, I couldn't tell you exactly what aspect in my life that impacts more than the others. But there's a spectrum in that. There's like, if there's, I have uncertainty in this aspect, I might less easily influenced by it. Whereas some other aspect in my life that I'm like, okay, I need structure. And you mess up with my structure and I'm uncomfortable now. I'm helping. I just couldn't.
Are you helping?
I am. I think I'm talking out my thoughts.
So you have structure in your daily life, or maybe even in bigger events in your life. What is the structure that if it changes, you will feel the most close to panicking or close to losing control?
Maybe one of the things that involve people, because if it happens to me, I can still fix it. Whereas if it happens to things between me and other people, I have no control over what other people think or what they do. The possibility of what will happen are too many that I could not list out what will happen, how do I fix it, that process.
Is it relationship-wise, or just any, what I kind of touch on is the interaction with other people?
Just involve people, more than two people.
Do you want to expand on that? Because it doesn't really explain what you're trying to say.
For example, I'm planning a family trip. Not only I need to know about my availability, I need to know about other family members' availability, right? When one family member couldn't give me their availability, I'll be like, okay, then everything needs to be put on hold until this person confirms. But I also have no control over when she can give me that availability.
So what's the original structure?
The original structure is everyone know what's their availability to begin with, which is an unrealistic expectation, right? But then my structure is, okay, everyone will know the availability. I can book in the flight, confirm this, lock this in. And when one person couldn't give me, then other things couldn't proceed.
Okay, so it's when other people not being able to
meet my standard,
meet whatever standard that you have or expectations that you have, as a result it impacts your decision.
Yeah, I think I'm very messy. Oh, I'm just don't know where I'm stuck in. I just couldn't.
Do you feel like you're just losing control now? It feels like it's quite a similar what you said, right? Feeling of stuckness and feeling of annoyance.
But that stuckness and this stuckness is different. Like, I think this is more like that confused, lost, that kind of stuck.
It feels like it's the triggering part is not meeting your expectations. Like, let's say even the driving part. Like, your expectation was the bus was, I don't know, I heard it so many times I tuned out. So basically you expected the driver to not turn or something, or turn, but they did the opposite. Right? So they didn't meet your expectations. Mm-hmm. So you feared, like, if, let's say you're driving on the street, like, you would have that fear of losing control because, yes, you have the expectation of the person in front will drive this way or that way, but you actually don't because they're not able to meet the expectations of allowing you to know because they can't. So it's them not being able to meet your expectations when you have expectations of them going a certain way.
Then they can't. Might be.
No, say more examples. Let's see if it is though.
It actually applies to, you know, my family crib and my sister as well. True. I think it makes sense. I couldn't think of other things, but I can think of, say, if I have higher expectation, it impacts me more. If I have lower expectation in that thing, it impacts me less. So I think the reason why the podcast your editing doesn't impact me a lot because I think I kind of expect you wouldn't be able to edit on time, and you just give me a heads up, you know, asking me when's the deadline, so I know you'll have a busy week, so it's not out of the blue that you are not meeting the deadline. So for say people canceling plans last minute, I didn't put much planning in it. My expectation is low, so I'm not getting impact too much.
Mm.
Whereas if I plan a lot, and it's out of my expectation, then I'll get impact by it.
Okay, good job. You happy with this? Not happy, but like,
I think
you agree with this answer?
I agree with it. Okay.
Nice. Good job. Do you feel stuck now? Hey, let's go back to what we figure out, okay? All you right. have that expectation of yourself being able to figure it out. Do you feel that way, though?
I have the expectation that I would figure it out, but because I'm stuck, I'm frustrated because I couldn't get there. I'm like, why it takes so long for me to figure it out? Whereas I'm like, well, I don't know anyway. I don't know. Then I don't get impacted by it.
I mean, if it makes sense to you.
It makes sense.
Wow. Good job.
But it's about the expectation. Thank you.
I feel like we can use that.
Wow, I had that aha moment just now. I'm like, oh, everything just linked. I need to clap for you and a pat for myself.
That's amazing, honestly.
Well, the whole audience witnessed the whole thing.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so how do you think we're gonna move on?
Finally. Have you shared an experience?
No.
Yeah, then why are we skipping the question? Don't think that I'm stuck in my little bubble. I didn't think about you.
Me? Share?
Mm.
Share, what's the question?
Share an experience in which you felt close to losing
control. You can use your own words, you don't have to.
Hey, my brain capacity has just used up. I don't have much left now.
I have used up my brain capacity as well.
And it's late at night now. After a full day of work, my brain power is...
Okay, I'll give you that.
In energy saving mode.
Okay, so share an experience where I felt close to losing control. Actually, the most losing control, like wanting to be in control of its emotions. It's my own emotions, more so than the other two. It is connected to what you have asked me in our own time is, do I think I lost control when I was at our friend's? I was just crying for no reason. No apparent reason.
Yes.
And I would say I still had that relatively under control. But I was trying very hard to have that under control. But I was very close to losing control.
What kind of emotion are you trying to control?
At that moment, I couldn't identify what that emotion was or emotions were. I just knew I needed to stop crying.
So you need to control and prevent the crying kind of amplify. Like, what are you trying to control? Because you're already crying.
I want to control myself in not crying. Basically, not feeling... I think at least... I think I was feeling sad. I'm sure there were more emotions. Okay, I think I was feeling overwhelmed.
Okay.
Good word, right?
Good word. Nice way to put it.
Yeah, because I honestly, I don't know what kind of emotions, but like I was trying to prevent myself from feeling overwhelmed. So to reduce that overwhelmness, I wanted to do that and get rid of my tears.
So you already lost control.
Honestly, that was just me close to losing control.
So what would losing control look like to you as an example?
It's the day after that. That's why, I brought that up. It's the next day where I'm at church. Oh, I don't remember what was said exactly during the sermon time. They shared an experience or a story. They just shared something that I can really relate to or was feeling at that moment. After the sermon, during worship, I was like, because worship you stand, right? I just felt like I was losing control. I can't even stand. So I just sat down on the floor and I just started crying. That was probably one of the moments I allowed myself to lose control. Whereas, because I think everyone was just very focused on everything else. So I was like, okay, I can allow myself to lose a bit of control.
Do you think through that at those moments?
No, but I had a very distinct thought of, no, I have to let this go. That's when I sat down on the floor. So I just stayed there crying. Honestly, extremely like shaking. I would consider that as a kind of close to a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had nothing under control. I couldn't breathe. Oh, I could breathe, but it was... took a lot of effort to breathe. Couldn't control... couldn't stop myself from shaking. And couldn't control my tears. And nothing was going in. Like, I remember there was another person... after 15 minutes of me just doing that, someone came over and asked me, like, I think just the usual stuff, whether it's like, are you okay? Obviously, I'm not. Or like, do you need someone to pray for? Or you want to be alone? Or you want someone to sit here? Or whatever, I forgot. But nothing was going in. Like, I couldn't absorb anything. That was probably the first time... I think it was a very conscious moment where I allowed myself to, you know what, you just have to lose control.
What prompts it, like, or what allows it? You're like, okay, I need to lose control. I could not control anymore.
Because I don't have the ability to do it anymore. It's more like admit defeated. So I'm like, okay, fine. Being in that state can't be worse than me pretending to be in control. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, because that actually takes more energy because you need to contain yourself.
I was just a bit exhausted and with not enough sleep.
Probably.
That was like, fine. Whatever. I'm not going to do anything. And I just allowed myself to do that and eventually, after an hour-ish, I have to gain that control back because I'm affecting other people. People are waiting for me. Okay, like, I have allowed myself to lose control, okay? Pick yourself up again. But I couldn't. Because I think I already allowed myself to start that process. It's not like, oh, I want to stop, then just stop. Yeah. That's not losing control.
Yeah. Of course.
So I was like, okay, yeah. So slowly gaining back that control of, okay, very consciously, like, okay, let's breathe. Other ways of calming myself, repetition of different things. Slowly gaining that control back.
Mm. And sorry, going back to the triggers, and how does that link to your interaction with people though? Because you said
that was probably not the best.
You got multiple triggers.
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. Definitely. But the trigger part started off when I was at our friend's place. It took a couple of trigger points to lead me to losing control. And I think even that day when I know you fell asleep, but
I didn't. I just couldn't open my eyes.
Did you listen?
I'm listening.
No way you did.
I don't know what you guys are talking. You and the other friend is like, oh, is it this? Is it like level 2 or something? Like, what level 2? What are you guys talking about? And I just said, and until now, I still don't know. And then you two know. And I'm just like, I'm ready. 1, I'm sleepy. And 2, I don't know what they're talking about. And I already lost in the conversation.
No, so you fell asleep.
I didn't fall asleep. I was listening.
Anyways, no, I'm pretty sure you were half asleep. So that's why you didn't understand.
I can guess. I also have no idea.
So you had no idea. So anyways, because I think it's because more of I shared and I'm affecting other people. That was one of the triggering thing. So it was just a multiple different things.
But you're not affecting us though.
But in my mind, I am.
In
my mind, I'm troubling other people. Like
you're burdening, yeah, you're spreading negativity.
Spreading negativity, but it could be... Okay, at that moment, I didn't know you didn't know.
Wait, so you thought I react that way because I know, but I still react that way?
Yeah, and I think so, that's the normal thing, like normal way of reacting anyways.
Yeah, I don't know what's normal because I don't even know.
No, like, I don't think I had an expectation of how people would react.
But you put meaning on how people react.
I didn't. I just more of... That reaction didn't allow me to think, oh, this affected her or whatever. It's just more of, after I leave, it may affect her in the future.
Oh, don't worry about it. I don't even know.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm fine with it. But I know the other friend knows now.
So you think ahead, oh, what if I burden
people? And the friend, I'll be like, oh my goodness, what if, like, it will affect her negatively, what if it triggers her, or like, whatever, like, a lot of different things that goes on in my mind. The gist of it is that multiple triggers allowed me to feel that fear of losing control. And honestly, looking back, I don't know, I don't have a reflection for it.
Oh, I was expecting for a reflection.
Yeah, I was gonna give some reflection, but...
You wanted any, like, good terms?
I was thinking, my reflection is, should I say I want to do it again, or I would never do it again? But it's neither.
That it happened?
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but... Eh. But I would say if I didn't allow myself to lose control, I would be pushed even further of being exhausted. So in that sense, I would agree that, or be grateful that I allowed myself to do that, because my cup was completely full, that it was...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it applies to me as well. And I think the analogy is really good, because if my cup is half full, I have more tolerance in dealing with this losing control. Yeah. I might not need to contain myself
on edge every time.
Exactly. But I do feel like if we don't let it to lose control at some point, in like a safe environment, of course, it can be very exhausting.
Yeah. Okay, great job. Great conclusion. Let's end the session. Let's end the episode.
It's more than enough now.
But yeah, so now that you have said, okay, kind of have to lose control at some point in our lives. What are some of the things that add on to our cup that we feel like it will be close to the fear of losing control that will impact our daily life?
To pretend that I have everything in control, or like to panic and trying to fix, quote unquote, fix everything. To me, it's usually when I'm in that edge of losing control, if I'm quickly trying to fix it and cover it, it usually leads to not so great result because I'm not in my rational mind of fixing things. I'm using my emotional mind to fix the thing. So I think that impacts my decision making. What about you?
What was my question?
So how is that fear of losing control, like that bucket that you're on the edge, impact your behavior?
I think my cup is always quite full. You know the game of when people take turns to fill the cup?
Yeah.
They actually add just one drop by the end. I'm always at the end stage where you never know if it will tip over or not. So I'm very on edge most of the time. So it does impact me in the sense in daily life is more of, most of the time I'm very exhausted or stressed, even when nothing is happening. Or if there are minor little things that happen in my life or in other people's lives that affect me, I'll be extremely affected.
Can I ask, is this something that keep adding to your bucket or is already full to begin with?
I think it's when you ignore it, it will just continue to grow. It was pretty empty until high school-ish. Because before primary, like before high school, everyone was just saying like you have no stress. And I actually had no stress. High school where it starts to fill up and I didn't know how to manage that or admit that I don't have everything together or admit that I have stress. It continues to grow. Now I feel like it's just there. Nothing needs to add on to it because I've just been ignoring it. I may sound very, like, I'm very aware. I have very good awareness, but I feel if I do increase my awareness, I would know that or be aware that my cup is actually not on edge. It's probably overflowing already. But at the moment, what I can see, it's just on edge. I don't know if that made sense or even answer your question.
It makes sense that it's already overflowing, but you didn't realize that it's overflowing.
To me, it's just, oh, it's full. But other things that happen in my life that may increase just little stress will allow me to see that, oh, I'm actually overflowing.
Where are the drops mostly coming from?
It's a double-edged sword, I would say. Interaction with other people. Sometimes they help me in reducing the water level, lowering it, but through different conversation as well, it does increase that level.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversation?
Especially conversation that makes me feel, it's not the, probably not the truth, but it makes me feel that they have an expectation of me that I have to act a certain way. And I don't want to fulfill that or I can't fulfill it.
Mm. Don't know how that links to this, but I think I'm just curious. Anyway.
Yes.
I think that's enough discomfort for today's episode.
Yeah, I guess the what we covered today is quite interesting because through the conversation, that discomfort at the very beginning that you had, sitting through that, it actually allowed you to gain some answers. Whether you're happy with it or not, whether it's the right or wrong answer, you still came up with a conclusion. Very happy for you. And I think it's through these conversations that we're able to gain some awareness and just to understand ourselves a bit more of different aspects. And for today's episode, it was the fear of losing control and having kind of understand a bit more of what, for Nat, what triggers her in the fear of losing control. Maybe the next step is actually feeling that losing control and being able to experience that a bit more. And well, for me, it's honestly, I kind of have a rough idea of what fear of losing control is for me. For me, it's more of being vulnerable to share.
I think that's a really good summary.
This episode has gone long enough. especially the recording part. I'm sure it'll be quite short once I edit it. I'm tired.
I think it's good to know. And for the audience, if you don't know, go figure it out.
It's really demanding.
Easier to said than done, but I think it's... I know we're ending the topic, but I just need to add that. I think the culture-wise, it kind of give me that idea of I need to reach certain expectation. And I think I just have a sudden thought that flies through. Pure is like, what am I striving for to begin with? Why do I need to have those or these expectations around me? And that's not something that we'll discuss today because I think both of us are too tired to
And honestly, explore. These thoughts that go through your mind, too. Just let it go.
No, you need to catch it.
You don't have to catch everything. So many thoughts are just...
Yeah, I'm sure now my thoughts are boom, 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 boom. But I'm just catching that main one that caught my eye.
Wow. Okay, that is it for our episode.
I actually never feel that tired ever in an episode. I feel like my brain is like fired. Anyway, we need to close it.
Yes, we'll close it. But in the meantime, before our next episode, you can check us out on Instagram, whyinyour20s.podcast. But other than that, take care and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Bye! Bye.